Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom have those who love his Torah and nothing will cause them to stumble. So we're going to go back to where we were as we're continuing to work through the books of the Bible. And so we're going back to 2 Kings this week, and we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 18, and we're going to be talking about King Hezekiah this week. So we're going to start here in verse 1 of chapter 18. It says, "Now it happened in the third year of Hosea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, became king. And he was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh, according to all that David his father had done. He took away the high places and shattered the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherah, and he broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the sons of Israel were burning incense to it, and it was called Nehushtan. He trusted in Yahweh, the God of Israel, so that after him there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor among those who were before him. So he clung to Yahweh. He did not turn away from following him, but kept his commandments, which Yahweh had commanded Moses." So here we see in the beginning of Hezekiah's reign, Hezekiah, basically you could say as in what a terminology we would use today is a revival. You could say an awakening, a turning back to Yahweh, a repentance unto his ways. And what we see here in verse 4 is where the nation was at the time of Hezekiah becoming king in Judah. We see that he tears down the high places and he cuts down the Asherah and the sacred pillars. So we know that Israel, we learned in the previous chapter here in 2 Kings that the northern kingdom, Israel, those 10 tribes have been pulled into exile into Samaria, and they have been brought into exile because of their sin. In fact, the scripture tells us that from the time that the northern kingdom departed with Jeroboam as their king from David's lineage, that they did not have one righteous king at all, but they walked in the ways of the nations, in the ways of the world. They worshiped their gods. They walked in their ways and in their practices. And Judah at times did the same. And at the time of Hezekiah becoming king, Judah was doing the same thing. They were worshiping the gods of the nations. They were walking in their ways. They had turned their back on Yahweh. They had turned their back on his Torah, and they were doing their own thing. So Hezekiah comes in, and he clings unto Yahweh. He clings unto his ways, and he devouts himself to following Yahweh. He trusts in Yahweh to the point that the scripture here says that as a nation of Judah, there was no king like unto Hezekiah before him or after him. So Hezekiah had a righteous heart, a heart that was after God. Now, what I want to talk about this week is there's an interesting thing that happens during this time period as well. And it talks about where he says he broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. And it tells us that Israel was burning incense to it. So what was the issue with the bronze serpent that Moses had made, that Hezekiah felt that it was necessary for him to break in pieces this symbol that was actually instructed to Moses by Yahweh to make? Why did Hezekiah break it in pieces? And why is it recorded in scripture? And the way you read it in scripture appears as if Moses did a righteous thing by doing this. This was part of the revival of Israel, you could say. So he destroyed that which was once a blessing, or that which was once instructed unto Israel to actually build. So let's go back to Numbers chapter 21 and let's read about this serpent on the pole, this bronze serpent that they built. So we're in Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4. It says, then they set out from Mount Or by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food. So Yahweh sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. Then the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned because we have spoken against Yahweh and against you. Pray to Yahweh that he may remove the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Then Yahweh said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard, and it will be that everyone who is bitten and looks at it will live. And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a standard, and it happened that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. So this is a passage where we see Yahweh instruct Moses to construct and build this bronze serpent that was raised there in the wilderness. And as we can see, reading here in 2 Kings at the time of Hezekiah, this pole, this serpent upon the pole, still exists. Israel still had it there. Now, what was the purpose of this pole? What did it represent? As Israel was coming out of Egypt, we see here that they are complaining. The thing that they're complaining about is they're getting tired of eating the manna. Their flesh is getting tired of the manna. It's too boring for them. Their flesh is desiring to have the food and the water that they once had while they lived in Egypt. So Israel is basically telling God at this moment in time, yes, we were living in bondage under slavery to Egypt. You have called us out of Egypt. You have brought us here to the wilderness to worship you. But our stomachs are not satisfied with what we're getting. So our desire is we want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back under slavery because at least while we were there, we had good food and we had good water. So Yahweh is angry that the fact that Israel has rebelled against him. They're basically rejecting him and longing to go back to Egypt. Their flesh is desiring Egypt. Just like at times our flesh will desire to go back into our former ways of behaving, the ways that we acted, the things that we took pleasure in before coming into a personal relationship with Yeshua. This is where Israel is. So God grows angry over this, and so he sends serpents into the camp. And the serpents begin to bite the people of Israel. And so those who were bit by the serpent were dying. So they cry out. They say, we have sinned against you. And so they cry out for mercy from God because they have sinned against him. So God's answer to remove this sin from the camp, to remove the serpents from the camp that's bringing death, was for Moses to construct this bronze serpent that was on a standard, or as some translations say, a pole. Now, to kind of understand what a standard is a pole, but it's something that was to be lifted high. So the idea of this bronze serpent on a pole, you're not really looking at a little small pole that would be held by someone's hand that someone would come to look at. But this would be a pretty large structure that would be lifted high. So you would not actually have to be very close unto the bronze serpent in order to see it. The idea I could imagine is that this serpent was lifted up in a way that no matter where you were in the camp, that you could see this bronze serpent on the pole, on the standard, okay? So what was Yahweh teaching Israel at this moment? Was he teaching Israel to trust in this pole, to trust in this bronze serpent? Or is he teaching them a different lesson? Was he teaching them something else? Was he teaching them that there's going to be one who is going to come, who himself will be lifted up in order that sin will be dealt with, in order that the debt that comes from your sin will be dealt with? Because see, the wages of sin is death. And Israel experiences that here in the camp. When they sinned against Yahweh, there were those who experienced death because of their sin. So to those who are walking in sin and who have not dealt with that sin, the wages of that sin is death. That's what we're learning here in this scripture, in this story. Our sin is going to lead unto death. But Yahweh comes and he provides an answer for our sin and for the death that's going to come from our sin. So as they lifted this bronze serpent that was on a pole so that those who look upon it would be saved, or they will live, they will not die when they have been bitten by the serpent. Okay. Now let's look at what Yeshua himself would say in John chapter 3 in verse 14. And this is him talking to Nicodemus. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. So this serpent upon the pole, Yeshua speaking of his death, and Yeshua speaking of his death, he references this bronze serpent that Moses had constructed and erected in the Israel camp, okay? Which, as we've just read previously, Hezekiah destroyed because the people were worshiping it. So was the pole evil? Did Hezekiah destroy it because the pole was evil? No, because Yeshua likens himself, his death, unto the serpent on the pole. So just as the pole was lifted up, so that whoever would look upon it would live when bitten by the snake, Yeshua himself would be lifted up, and those who believe in him would have eternal life. Now, here's the difference. It's not whoever will look upon him on the cross will have eternal life. It's to those who believe in him will have eternal life. So the idea is when they lifted up the pole, the bronze serpent on the pole, it was to teach them not to trust in the bronze serpent on the pole, but to trust in the one who instructed them to build it. And it was a memorial unto Israel about how their sin in the wilderness led to the death of many of them. But to those who turned and believed in God, them had life upon being bitten by the serpent, pointing to the fact that Messiah would come, he would be lifted up in the same manner that serpent was lifted up upon that pole. He was going to be lifted up. When he died upon that cross, he was lifted up. You could see him from a distance. People could look upon him from a distance and see this sinless one, the one who was without guilt, willingly laying down his life on that cross so that those who would believe in him, their sins would be forgiven. They would find mercy and they would find grace with God and they would have eternal life. Their sin would be dealt with. So the death is removed from those who look upon Yeshua upon that cross and believe in him. So the question is, why does Hezekiah destroy this pole? Well, we see in the verse, and as I've referenced a couple of times, they were burning incense to the pole. So Israel had lost the meaning behind the bronze serpent on the pole. Instead of the bronze serpent serving as a memorial to them, reminding them of what Israel had done in the past, and reminding them not to forsake Yahweh, not to rebel against his ways, not to sin against him, instead of looking on it as a message of the fact that one day the Messiah will be lifted up just like that serpent is lifted up, and their sin will be done away with. And as they see that memorial and they see what it's pointing to and what's coming in the future, that they would worship Yahweh. And in worshiping Yahweh, of course, you walk in his ways. You are obedient unto his Torah. But Israel does not do that. Instead, Israel chooses now to worship the pole. And now they are breaking the Torah itself as they begin to burn incense unto the pole. It wasn't the pole that healed the people. The pole itself did not have the healing power to heal Israel. It was the God who was behind it who instructed them to build the pole that had the ability to heal them. So they fell into the trap, you could say, of worshiping the tool that was given them instead of worshiping the God who gave it to them. And that's something to kind of think about with ourselves when it comes to believing in him and trusting in him, and when we're praying for him and seeking him for answers. Do we find ourselves sometimes trusting in the process and what we're doing? That if we do this one certain thing, or if we do it this one certain way, instead of trusting in him to do it. Now, in trusting in him to do it, he may give you some instructions on what to do, and we need to be willing and obedient to do it. He may guide us in how he wants it to be done, but we can't trust and follow into religious practices, I guess is the best way to say that, instead of actually trusting in the God himself. See, the cross itself can become a stumbling block. See, the bronze serpent on the pole became a stumbling block unto Israel. They lost focus of it. We can do the same thing with the cross. We can get so caught up in the cross and what the cross means that we forget the one who is behind it. See, we don't worship the cross. We worship the one who died on the cross. The cross itself is powerless. What's powerful is the one who willingly put his life upon that cross and died upon that cross. That's where the eternal life comes from. That's where the salvation comes from. That's where our healing comes from. When Yeshua died upon that cross, not only were our sins forgiven, as Israel was forgiven in the wilderness when they looked upon the serpent on the pole, but they were healed. We also receive healing through the cross by the fact that Yeshua died upon that cross through his death. So we worship the one who died. We don't worship the thing that he died upon. We can use it as a memorial to remind us of what has happened, what he did, to point us to the fact that his blood was shed. We're forgiven. We're healed. And that now we are to walk in a newness of life. But we have to worship the one who gave his life upon it. And not only do we look upon this when it comes to the cross, but you think about the fact that the serpent upon that pole was a blessing, you could say, or a gift given from God unto the people of Israel for what was going on at that moment in time. So do we at times fall into the trap where we find ourselves worshiping the blessings or the gifts that we get from him instead of worshiping the one who gave it to us? And the thing that's really impressive, I would say, about Hezekiah is that as Hezekiah is cleaning up the nation of Israel of all the idols, that he is aware enough to see that even something that was built by Moses himself had become an idol. Something that was once good had become an idol, and he was able to recognize that, and he was willing to get rid of the stumbling block. He doesn't just simply tell Israel to stop burning incense at the bronze serpent, but he gets rid of it. He breaks it in pieces, meaning he removes the stumbling block from the camp of Judah. So that's where we have to learn to apply this even to ourselves and into our lives. Is there anything that may have started out that which was good, but has become an idol? Are we willing to be as Hezekiah and go to the point, to the extent, to break the bronze serpent in order to remove the stumbling block from our life? Hezekiah clung to the ways of Yahweh and did not turn away from following him, and he kept the commandments of Yahweh. He walked in his Torah, and it began by Hezekiah removing all of that which was unclean. And the bronze serpent itself wasn't unclean, but what was transpiring at the bronze serpent was unclean. And in order to get rid of that which was occurring at the bronze serpent, to get rid of that uncleanness, he removed that stumbling block. Well, hallelujah, we are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now, and shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.